Good evening. Thank you for listening to the 2 Minutes with Vic podcast. I'm your host, Victor Salcido. And after a lot of arguing and debating, my wife finally decided to come on the podcast. Say hey to everybody.
Hi. There was no arguing.
There's a lot of arguing. A lot of staying up late at night begging this woman to get on the podcast. And now she's here. So, because my wife is a nervous wreck, I asked her. I made a little list. And we picked out three episode discussion points out of a 5-point list. I asked her to pick three. So the three things we're going to talk about is the Netflix documentary series Tiger King, which I've already covered in a previous podcast. Her ear fetish that she has, as well as double standards between the genders.
Oh, jeez.
What do you want to start with?
We'll start with Tiger King.
Okay. All right. So on the last episode, I literally played his songs,
mm-hmm.
right, on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I personally think that Joe Exotic, also known as Joe Schreibvogel, I think he could have easily have been a top 20, top 50 country artist of all time.
Okay.
Do you agree with me or not?
I just feel like, yes, he sounds very different than how he speaks, especially...
How does he talk?
Hi, everybody. Yes, I'm gay and broke as shit.
I'm gay and broke as shit.
So, yeah, if you're comparing his how the way he sings, even if it really is him, you know, he sounds good, but come on, like, he was a meth head and... He just wasn't gonna make it, babe. To the top 50, top 100. Like, have you listened to Blake Shelton and Luke Bryan?
I found out today from someone that lives or used to live in Texas that they call people from Oklahoma Okies.
Okie Japan?
No, just Okies. So I was just like, oh, I was thinking about moving to Oklahoma, and he's like, okay, you wanna be around all them Okies? I'm like, Okies? Kind of,
That's what Michael's been saying. His new word is Okie.
That's what they call people from Oklahoma. All those methods up there.
Those methods. You're so evil. Why are you generalizing everyone as a
method? Well, it's just what it is.
Oh my gosh.
Watching the documentary, how many people on there mentioned that they did meth?
Okay, well, if you look at it this way, they mostly interviewed his workers, which, you know, he, you know, admittedly said, you know, that he would get them, like, that they wouldn't have a place to go after the train, you know, and they were just basically homeless, you know, people who didn't make it in life, and he was giving them another chance. So
by giving them meth.
By, you know, providing a place for them to sleep and whatnot.
On one condition.
And they probably all did mess together, yeah. But that's like a small percentage compared to everybody in Oklahoma, compared to all the Okies.
But you don't know that. We would like to think that, because we don't know a lot of people that smoke meth here.
No.
But for all we know, that might just be like the norm out there, you know?
I guess.
I mean, there's nothing to do out there besides go to a... ghetto zoo in the middle of bumfuck Oklahoma.
Oh gosh, I guess.
Would you go to that zoo? If I told you that I got 2 tickets to the GW Zoo,
no.
I spent $600.
No.
$1,200 on 2 tickets.
I personally wouldn't want to go to a zoo because I don't want to fund them keeping the animals caged like that.
So you don't think animals would be caged? Or do you think certain types of animals should and certain types of animals shouldn't? The animals should be, like, not caged, or should some of them be caged,
of them not? I think it just depends on the circumstance. I think definitely if you have a tiger in, like, 5-yard freaking cage, like, I don't think that's enough.
25 feet by 25 feet.
I wouldn't think that's enough for a tiger.
So,
like, they, like, how we need to walk the dog and stuff, you can't just walk a tiger. Like, they need their space to run and feel like they're in, you know, their own little wildlife in there and stuff. Like, how Joe said that he kept, like, the, what were they, apes or monkeys?
Yeah.
It's, like, in those tiny cages just so people could come and look at them. People paid for that, and because they did, he would house them like that. And it was just... I'm just not okay with that. Like, what?
So the difference between...
It would break my heart to see these animals just so upset.
So the difference between Joe Exotic's zoo and, you know, Carol Baskin's zoo is that she had so much more land. So they weren't necessarily caged. They were just fenced. You know what I mean? They were fenced in. They had this whole roaming area.
Mm-hmm.
But then there was a place where they could come up to see people if they wanted to. So do you feel like someone could have a zoo, but only on the condition of they have acres and acres and acres of someone to keep animals? Or do you feel like they should just not be caged or fenced in at all?
Well, I mean, I'm not a fan of Carol Baskin herself, but yeah, like she had the correct idea. Whether she did it for the right reasons or not, like I think that could go far for, you know, tiger owners, because seeing the documentary, you know, you feel bad for the little cubs who, you know, are just, you know, being brought into this world, and they're just going to be fenced in, like, in a super tight spot with other tigers and sharing, you know, their prey and all that. And
yeah,
and I just feel like it's not fair to them. It's not fair to them. And then, you know, on top of that, you know, he would sell them, and you don't know what home they go to
right
after that.
For all you know, it can go live with Shaq. It can go live with, you know, Pop Country Star or some other bumfuck Okie.
Yeah, and you just don't know how they would treat them. And I mean, what I liked about Joe is how, you know, he would interact with them. It seemed like he loved them, you know, but...
Seemed like it, but he would get weird with it sometimes.
I feel like,
hey, you sexy little fuck. How you doing, little sexy?
Oh, be quiet, because the way
who's
you...
Who's my sexy?
What did you say? What would you call Pinky, you sexy little bitch? You call Pinky that, so you shouldn't even
no,
be talking.
No, I don't think I
you're
said
sexy
that.
Little bitch, Pinky. Yeah, you are. You're sexy little bitch. You say that to her.
I'm gonna have to edit that out. I don't know.
So, I mean, I liked the way... Like, I just, you know... If you're gonna treat them like domestic animals and all that, like, they should feel loved.
Well, you just can't. You can't treat them like domestic animals because, you know, they grow up to be 400 fucking pounds and could stand 9 to 11 feet tall.
Well, I know. Mean, that's why I would, you know, I'm okay with them being, like, fenced.
Yeah, not caged, but fenced.
Yeah.
I just don't think you should own something that can kill you.
Yeah, well,
I just don't think that's a good idea. Like how, like, SeaWorld would have Shamu and different orcas. Like, they literally ate employees.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you should be able to own something that could literally, not so much just, like, rip your face off. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? But if you're getting a wolf, lion, tiger, I mean, even, like, a little mountain lion, even though they're half the size, a 200-pound, 6-foot-long animal can still fuck you up. If we were walking down this trail right here and a giant mountain lion darted at me and you, like, it's either I get attacked and you get to run away, or you get attacked and I have time to retrieve one of my big knives and try to stab it to death in order to try to get you to a hospital as soon as possible. But, like, that's already a given. It's not like we're going to be able to, like, scare it, you know what I mean, or make a noise and it's going to run away.
Well, you know? I mean, in the documentary, when... When that tiger was, you know, dragging Joe by his foot.
Oh, yes.
He made a shot. Like, he didn't
shoot
the
tiger. He shot the ground.
He shot air, yeah. He shot...
But there's nothing that we have on our person to scare a mountain lion. Like, I don't have a gun on me, you know?
Well, I know. That's why I'm like, you know, I'd rather them be fenced in than out in the wild and being able to, you know, grab us.
Right.
But, yeah, that's about that.
What's interesting about wolves, though, that I did find out is in the wild, in, like, a pack, if you were to get, like, chased down by a pack, that you don't have to worry. I think I already told you. But you don't have to worry because it's, like, if you happen to have a gun or a rifle on you, if you manage to kill one or two, they'll all just leave. They don't have, like, a zombie mentality of just chasing you down, 20 of them, and risking 4 of them getting shot. So, like, what the wolves would do is they'll have, like, 3 or 4 initial wolves attack you, right? Come at you. And the whole time that they're attacking you, the rest of them kind of hang back, kind of scattered, and they all howl at the same time. And it's like, as the back ones howl, they're doing it to get a howl from the front ones. So if they howl, and you've already capped three of them, they kind of started looking around like, oh, shit. Like, Earl, Freddie, and Jose, they're fucking gone, man. Woo! Get the fuck out of here. And then 17 will turn around. But, like, the difference between, like, that animal and, like, a tiger or a lion, it's like they don't give a fuck. They're not checking in on each other. Like, they will stalk you, hunt you, run you down. Mm-hmm. And they don't care if you shoot one, the rest will still come at you, you know? Mm-hmm. At least in the wild. Domesticated, like you said, when he shot at the ground, all, like, all three of them that were in that cage all backed up. Mm-hmm. Now, they were still kind of close, and he still had to fire off. But he definitely let go. But not only did he let go, but it's like the other ones, too, also knew to kind of, like, stand back a little bit, but not to the point of, like, scared, like, run away, he's about to kill us. It's just more, like, just more attentive, mm-hmm. you know? They're not scared. They're just like, what are you doing?
You definitely got why, their attention.
Yeah, what was that sound? What are you? Mm-hmm. Why are you making such a loud bark? How are you doing that? You know, mm-hmm. it sounds like that could hurt me. Yeah, but wolves, like, they think about the pack more than the individual animal. I think tigers and lions don't give a fuck. They're just,
I mean, they are, just concerned. You know, felines, like, little, yeah. evil little cats.
Evil ass cats.
Okay, but not all of them are evil, okay?
A lot of them are evil.
Oh, they just, like, look evil.
Have and you
like
ever met...
The way, like, they move, and then their, like, tail is just so stealthy.
Have you ever like, met oh, a friendly cat? Like, we've all gone to someone's house. Like, a friendly-ass cat. Like, comes up to you, purrs, rubs you, and then when you rub them, they don't run away.
Yes.
Go on their back, rub the belly.
Yes.
Stormy would never act like that with me.
Okay, not with you, but Stormy is...
See, but that's what I'm saying, like... There's dogs where it's like anybody.
Okay, no, is fair but there's game. There's also dogs like there's also dogs that don't. Like,
but
there's
a vast Pinky, majority
Pinky doesn't
of dogs.
Like certain people. Like Little Bear, like literally, like nipped at Hannah when she first met, but that she didn't nip at everybody.
Right, but now her, that she like, knows Hannah, she won't do that again. She'll smell her hand. She'll you know. Jump on her and
okay.
stuff like
she,
that.
She won't jump on her. She's not, like, totally completely in love with her.
Right, right.
But, I mean, obviously she knows not to. Because...
I mean, dogs just widely love and appreciate humans way more than cats do. Mm. On a different level. I mean, I've never seen just a friendly-ass cat see me
I mean,
walk
just,
through the
just
door.
Different. They're just different species. Like,
yeah, they just don't give
really...
a fuck about other people.
I don't really think you can compare them. Fuck. Towards each other.
Just
though.
Look at you. Like, what the fuck are you looking at me for? What are you... Unless you say pss, 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 pss.
There will be dogs
different...
that act like cats, and there'll be cats that act like dogs, but that's just, like, their personalities. Like, Little Bear isn't, you know, the happiest, most sociable dog in, you know, the world. Like,
right.
She's not. I can't even tell you that. But she is a very lovable, you know, creature, but she's not... She's not going to be gung-ho and happy to see everybody, you know?
One thing I think is interesting is that, like, with dogs, you can actually call their name, and they're, like, very attentive and stuff. And then, like, with cats, I'll say the name over and over, and I won't get their attention, but then I'll go pss, 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 and rub my fingers together, and that's what will get a cat to come towards you. I think that's really weird. Like, what could I have in my hand that goes pss, 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 pss? You know what I mean? What could I have in my hand that makes that sound?
I mean, I don't know. I'm not really experienced
you know?
With cats.
But with, like, Little Bear or, like, remember when we lived with the Clarences, you know? They had Molly. Mm-hmm. And if I started going, Molly Moose,
mm-hmm.
Molly Moose was charging your ass. Like,
mm-hmm.
But if I went to Molly and I went, like, I don't think you would get the same reaction. But, like, with a cat, you could do that sound. And, like, a good percentage of them will, like, be interested. They might not come towards you, but that will interest them. Not, Bella, come here, Bella. Bella's going to look at you like you got a dick growing out your forehead. She doesn't, what? But then you go, pss, 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 or if you tap a can, you know what I mean? That means it's feeding time, and then they're interested in you, you know? I think it's just interesting that cats go by that sound, you know what I mean? Those
mm-hmm.
audibles instead of their actual name. Maybe they don't know their name, you know? Maybe they don't know their name. Because even my mom, with Bella, like, she'll say, Bella, come here, Belly. Belly. But then she'll end up having to go, and, like, wiggle her fingers. And then that's what will get Bella to come over to her. And then she'll get, like, 2 seconds of touching, and then she's back out the door.
Okay, yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
I think that's interesting. think that's interesting. So, like, if we were to make that criteria for zoos of, like, you can't own something that could kill you, like, what would the ideal zoo look like to you?
Well, I mean, I haven't really thought about it. All I really know is, like, the way that, you know, Carol Baskin, you know, has her gated tigers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think she's got a good idea. I mean, I don't think she's conquered it. I don't think it's at its full potential. Like, I'm okay. I'm 100%. I support this woman for doing that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm pretty sure someone, not even, like, someone, like, a group of people who love animals and stuff could get together and really try to conquer it. Mm. But not, like, breed to have that zoo. I just don't agree with that. You know, like... she used to be a breeder, so I mean, I don't, you know, kind of, she's kind of being a hypocrite, you know, being against it. But everybody grows as a person, so I mean, you can have different views now that you're older than when you were 22.
Right.
That's definitely, you know, but I just think that the money gets to them, you know, vanity gets to a lot of people. And I think it got to her, you know, she had a billionaire husband and, you know, she's got all this money that she also took from Joe. And now, like, her priority isn't to, you know, better her little community of animals.
Well, remember,
it's just
too,
to document it and to have people's approval on the internet.
She had that Facebook Live video that she was saying that they averaged like $20,000 a video. It's like she doesn't even need... really too much else, you know what I mean? Like, if you're making 20 grand per video, and one of those typical videos would be like, what, an hour? You can make $20,000 an hour saying, hey, cool cats, kittens, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like $20,000 in an hour, and you still need Joe's money, you still need to overcharge for, so like, what my ideal zoo would look like, and let me know what you think about this. My ideal zoo would be a walkthrough zoo, right? Where it is caged in the sense of, like, animals can't just, like, leave and go run on the freeway, right? But it would be, like, you know, fenced in. You get to, like, do this walkthrough where you pass koalas, right? And then you get to hold one, maybe feed it, you know what I mean? See a baby koala, an adult koala, okay. Maybe you, like, see some sloths, right? Then maybe you have, like, smaller monkeys, not, like, giant fucking gorillas that could rip your arms off, you know? But, like, little tiny monkeys that are, like, a foot tall, you know what I mean? There's some monkeys and, like, or, I don't think it's chimps. Just, like, some breeds of monkeys that are, like, short like that, right? Maybe, like, lemurs, right? Little monkeys like that where you won't have too many issues of, like, people, you know what I mean, having their arm bitten off. And then maybe, like, the end of the tour or, like, maybe some bigger animals, you know, elephant, ostrich, kangaroo. Like, some stuff that's not going to eat you alive. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Stuff that doesn't have the capability of ripping your arm off or something. And then, yeah, and then you walk out and then, yeah, there you go. You know, your tour at the zoo.
Mm-hmm.
How would you feel about that?
Well, like, hearing you talk about it, I feel like it would be, like, the animals would be in a financial situation to be eating, you know, what they should be eating and stuff, if there was, like, a designated person for each of these groups of animals. You know, like,
well, I mean,
someone...
you would need that.
Like, yeah, like, there's, like, someone, you know, who, you know, invested in, you know... time, money, love, you know, for tigers. And, you know, that's their part of the zoo in a way, I guess. And then the, you know, oh, now you're moving into, you know, seeing the pandas or whatever. And that's, you know, run by a different person who knows all about, you know, pandas.
Yeah.
And specializes in whatever, you know, like, I think that would also add to better zoos. Because I personally wouldn't want to pay to go see caged animals for my enjoyment. And they're, living a horrible life.
Right, but instead of them just being caged, it's like you're caged with them. Is kind of the idea of that. It's like you're in the space. Like, it's not like a tiny cage either. You know what I mean? It's a very large area. You know what I mean? So it's like the experience is like, wow, this is really cool. Unless you look 100 feet to your left and then you see a fence where it's all fenced in. You know what I mean? That was just, you know, Because I've been thinking of, like, you know, the Aquarium of the Pacific and zoos and stuff like that, you know, the LA Zoo. It's like, what could happen to, you know, benefit most? Because, like, a koala in captivity and a koala in the wild,
I
that
definitely
there's
think
no
an
comparison
aquarium and a
there.
zoo are very different
Well,
things,
no, no,
buddy.
well, no, 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 no. What I'm trying to say is just, like, in total, places of business that show you animals for money, okay?
Okay.
Like, I'm trying to think, like sharks and, you know, killer whales in captivity. I think that sucks. A clownfish, it's like, who gives a fuck? So it's like, if you have a koala or a sloth, what is the sloth missing out on? Nothing. They're not missing out on anything. But when you take a tiger out of the wild and you put them in captivity, that's where it goes bananas. 70% of the world's tigers are in captivity. That's kind of crazy, huh? I wonder what the number is on koalas. Probably not even close to that. Because no one gives a damn about koalas, you know?
I wouldn't
What I
know.
did find out, though, is that not only do they stink like shit, they're mean as hell.
Koalas?
Yeah, they're like really mean to you. So,
Oh,
like, what they want is they want to constantly be fed. And if you stop feeding them, whether you run out of whatever you're doing or not, if you run out, they'll either bite you or they'll like leave. But they want nothing to do with you after you can't feed them anymore.
yeah, just a bunch of freeloaders.
Well, I mean, yeah, a bunch of freeloaders, but it's just like, dang, like what an asshole, you know? You just use me for food and then I want to pet you and you try to bite my thumb, like you fucking Anyways, Joe Exotic, Tiger King, we really recommend you watch. Would you recommend to the people to watch Tiger King?
I mean, I thought it was really intriguing and it opened my eyes to other things that are happening in the world, so.
What did you think it was gonna be about? Because I when we first watched it, that first second episode, like it quickly turned from just crazy gay bastard owning a zoo to murder for hire plot, and you had to watch the rest to see how it went down.
Yeah, and like it gave you like insight on other people's twisted lives and you know, like
Right.
Jeff Lowe and Carol Baskin and all that. So I was like juicy,
And
like a real life soap opera.
the drug lord that was smuggling cocaine inside of snakes.
Wait, wasn't that Jeff Lowe?
No. It's the other guy, the other like weird Russian looking dude. He went to
Oh,
prison and then got out and
okay.
was allowed to have a zoo.
Okay.
He just makes a brief little cameo. No one gives a fuck about him, you know? He's just whatever. I used to shove cocaine and not just rattlesnakes. It used to be like different animals too, you know?
Yeah,
I
and they
used
didn't
to.
care if they lived or died.
Yeah, and they didn't care if he could own a zoo after. Like, we don't want you anywhere near animals again. Can I work at an animal shelter? Fuck you! No! How do I know you're gonna stuff a pit bull full of weed? You know what I mean? Like, what an asshole. The fact that he could do that and then go to owning tigers is ridiculous, in my opinion, but.
That's America.
That is America for you. That's Okie, Oklahoma for you.
So, next
You have a
topic.
choice. You have a choice. We can either go into your weird ear fetish, or we could talk about double standards between men and women.
Well, I definitely don't want to end off the night with my weird ear
So you
fetish.
might as well just get it over with now.
Yeah, but it'll be brief. I mean, what am I gonna talk about it? About it? Like, what can I explain? I don't even
Okay,
know.
one question I've never asked you. I've saved this question just for the podcast.
Oh, of course you did.
Wanted to ask you, would you choose someone to date by their ears? Would you
I mean,
choose,
I've
would
been.
you determine the qualification of the boyfriend by how large, small, soft, or hard their ears are?
That's so weird. Okay. I've said it before, actually, and I mean, I haven't thought about it. You know, I'm happily married, but I would have in my day dated someone to just to touch their ears. I probably would have done that.
Just for the
So.
ears.
Not for the ears, for the satisfaction of being able to touch the ears without it being creepy.
What a fucking heartbreaker. Like I'm dating a beautiful
I'm not
girl.
saying I did, though. I'm not saying I did. Just I would have.
Come on. You
I
know you
didn't.
did.
I didn't.
You know you did. Never. know what you're touching.
No, because I wasn't the kind of girl to ask a guy out, like, you know.
Okay, so what? Okay, to narrow it down, a guy wants to date you, okay, wants you to be their girl. Do you determine your yes or no on the ears?
Well, I mean, it's just like,
like, if he's got large, stiff, ugly ears, do you say no?
But it's like, how would I know if they're, you know, stiff? Like, have I touched them before? Like, I wouldn't look at your ears and say, you know what, you might be a contender. Ask me in like a couple weeks. Like, no, I wouldn't do that. Well, and it's not like I was that attractive anyway to be doing that. It's not like I had a bunch of guys just, you know, lining up for me. You know, I'm just inspecting their ears. It's kind of weird.
Okay, here's another one. So you're, well, first of all, let's clarify, what are you into? Are you into softer ears, stiffer ears, larger ears, smaller ears? What are you into? What's your ear fetish?
I don't like really soft ears and I don't like really hard ears. So they have to be in the between. And what I mean by that is, you know, if you have a lobe, that's awesome. I love the lobe. I don't have a lobe, but I love touching my ears anyway because it's, you know, what I can get my hands on the most.
Okay.
And what I mean by not, like, hard or soft is, like, the cartilage part of the ear, like, the outer cartilage. Like,
God, you're so weird.
I love to put my fingernail in there. Like, it's in between my fingernail and my finger, the cartilage, and it just, it's a really good feeling. But I love them when they're cold. I can't do hot ears.
So temperature means a lot, too.
Yeah, they have to be cold.
And then what about size?
Size? I mean,
does the size of the ear matter to a girl?
Honestly, if they were big, perfect ears, like, that's just a dream. Because, like, you'd be able to go along the cartilage for so much longer than, like, the little ears like I have. Like, I go over them, like, 10 times, and I'm like, all right, just touch the whole ear and make it warm already.
I'm married to a fucking sociopath.
Shut up.
Okay, so,
I love your little ears.
I don't have little ears.
Babe, you have little ears. They stick out a little bit, but they're little.
Oh my gosh.
They're super little. Have you seen Allison's ears?
No.
Babe, her ears are like half the size of my ears, and I have little ears.
Oh, so you're saying she had like tiny ears.
She's got tiny, soft ears. Like, I wouldn't even call them ears. I can't even put my fingernail on them and right, do the cartilage thing. She doesn't have any cartilage.
She's got worthless ears.
Yes.
The ears are just worthless. What does she even have them for?
I mean, you can't even put earphones in them. They always take off. Like, that's why she has headphones.
Right.
Yeah.
Because what is she listening to?
Well, she's not. She listens to the headphones that block the sound.
Oh, God.
Okay, is that it?
She's such a lovely little being. Well, I just want to ask this. Do you think, if you didn't marry me, that your ear fetish would have developed sexually?
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No.
That's always been one of my things, like being with you. I've always thought that our relationship would eventually turn into, like, you.
No.
Humping the side of my head.
You're so weird. Is that what you hoped for?
No, not what I hoped for. I just thought that's what it was going to turn into, because you always
had accepted it the moment you said I do.
Yeah.
Oh, you're so
Well, I mean,
you're worse than I am.
No, I
don't think of them that way. It's, oh, okay. It's just for my enjoyment.
Just your enjoyment.
It
like
helps,
how men like feet.
Just, I guess it helps me calm down and kind of like, I touch my ears like, you know, like I'm sleepy. And that Michael got it from me, because the moment we put him down for his crib, he's reaching for his little ears. I love touching his ears too. He's going to have some perfect ears.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
They look nice. He's a very adorable child.
Mm-hmm.
We made a pretty good one.
Yeah.
We're making a second one.
No, we're not. Shut up.
Come on.
Mm-mm. It's too much work.
I don't think so.
Well, because you don't have to do it. I've already explained this to you. I'm the one who has to carry him and give birth.
All right. I think this is a perfect transition into gender roles.
Oh, okay.
Double standards between the genders. Uh-huh. So as a very famous comedian that I love and respect, Andrew Schultz once said... No, actually, I think Andrew Schultz reiterated it, but Bill Burr was the first one to say it, is that nothing is hard if you could do it in your pajamas. So what he means by that is, like, you can parent in your pajamas, like, change diapers and stuff like that. Thus, it's not hard. If you know where I'm going with this. Would you argue that parenting is the hardest job on the planet?
I mean, I haven't had every other job, so I really wouldn't be able to compare it to a lot.
You wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the staples of conversation between women and women.
I mean, I can tell you this. You can have a 9-to-5 and go home and you're done with your job. But as a stay-at-home wife... I never clock out. I clock out for a couple hours to go hang out with my friends. I clock out to take a nap. I clock out to take a shower. Am I really? There's no really clocking out. I'm like, really, like, I can't. There's no 5-hour break, 6-hour break, you know, 12-hour break. Like,
if only you can go back to being just a dog parent, huh?
I mean, we're not really comparing being a dog mom job and a mom job.
Well, no, because it's like with a dog, you can clock out for like a day. You just be gone. We can go out of town for a weekend and, you know, maybe just give a key to the house of someone to like give some food to the dog and that's it. But with a child, it's like 24/7. You have to watch them. You have to take them everywhere. Like you just said, it never ends. I think someone getting a dog, it's kind of like having a child that you don't mind if they die.
What? Babe.
I think that's the equivalent. It's like with a baby, you don't have a baby with the intention of it living 13 years and then it just dies and then you bury it in your backyard.
I mean, I really, you know how attached I was to Little Bear before.
No, I know, but it's like...
Her dying would have destroyed me. So, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm okay with her dying.
What is up with that? Why is it that you and other human beings... Now, I'm not saying you still feel this way, but what is up...
I would think of her dying and I would start crying, Victor.
But why would you be so attached to an animal?
Because she's so faithful to me. She loves me. She's all... I'm all she has. She doesn't have a mom and a dad and who are working for her. Like, we're that. I'm her mom, and I have to give her love. And I do give her love, and she gives me, you know, way more love than you do.
Whoa. Okay, now.
She always wants to be with me. She always wants to sit on me. She's always so happy to see me. Like, she makes me a whole dang party when I get home. She loves the shit out of me.
That was maybe your first year with her, but now... The past 2 years, you've, like, hated her.
I haven't hated her. I've just loved Michael more. So, it's definitely changed how much, you know, I love her. But, I could feel bad saying it, but I wouldn't be as devastated now if she died versus Michael dying.
Right, so, like, that's what I'm saying. It's, like, the long game of it is, like, you're getting this living thing... That you don't mind allowing it to die in 13 years.
But, like, before Michael, I did mind her dying. That's why we took her to the vet all the freaking time.
Got you. And got puppy insurance.
Yes, everything that happened to her scared me. And I... Whatever. We're talking about double standards.
Well, that's
over here talking about my dog.
Well, I know. I just, like, it's just kind of what lets me know that... That's what let me know that you were going to be a good parent, was how much you cared about that dumb animal.
And you didn't.
I really didn't.
You think that gave me a good spine?
Like, I just don't care about that dumb animal. She's so useless, you know? Like, if she was like a 9.5-pound boxer or something would have been a little bit different, you know, because I know that my dog could protect my family, my son. Like, Little Bear's not going to do shit but bark. And then someone's going to step on her and break her neck. And then, you know, Michael gets...
Must I remind you she got ran over and she survived? Okay?
Yeah, but see, if I would have been there, like, I wouldn't have cared as much as you, you know?
Whatever.
You were on your hands and knees crying your eyeballs out.
I wasn't on my hands and knees. You weren't even there, so
I know. But you were definitely devastated for a second.
Of course.
So is it a point of you caring how she dies or when she dies?
I mean, her dying period.
Oh, just her dying period. Because if she lives like 13 years and her hips are like deteriorating, you know, at that point you just kind of want to put her down and get it over with, right?
I don't know.
You don't know. Not a happy thought.
No, it's not a happy thought.
Think about. Double standards between the genders. That's what we were trying to talk about. It's what happens when you record a podcast. You go off on so many tangents, you know? I'm trying to think of, like, one of the biggest double standards between men and women that don't make sense to me.
What I don't like is that not every place of business has a freaking changing table in the men's bathroom.
Okay. That's a double standard that I accept.
You love that. Yeah, I
do.
I don't appreciate that.
Okay, okay.
Because what if, you know... God say I have to do something, I'm out of town for a week, yeah. And you're going to hang out with your friends regardless, and you're not going to be able to have someone to take care of Michael all the time.
Right.
So you're going to go out with your friends, and, oh, I got to change Michael's diaper, you know, fudge, there's no changing table.
No, just change him in the car.
In the bathroom.
Just change him in the car. That's fine.
Yeah, but that's more of an inconvenience.
Not really for me. I wouldn't care as much. I probably just wouldn't change them. No, I'm just playing. I would. Of course I would change my son in a couple hours. That's interesting that you start off with that. That one biggest thing is that...
Yeah, because I remember being really grateful at Barnes & Noble's. They both of those restrooms have changing tables. And you were able to change his diaper that day.
Shoe. Well, to be perfectly honest with you, there's been a number of times where I've just
There are single dads out there.
No, I know. I'm just saying that there's been a number of times where I just told you they didn't, but they did. Or I just told you they didn't, but I didn't really look, you know? I just, like, got some water and, oh, yeah, baby. They don't have it. No. Wife is so mad at me right now. Well... I think they've solved that problem already, right? No?
I wouldn't know. I don't go to the men's restroom.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't really look for changing tables that often either. What else? What else? What other big stereotype or double standard? Like, the double standard of a nudity, I think, is really interesting.
Why?
Because it's like... I don't understand why it is that if you have a man who is wearing no shirt, he's just wearing pants, right? Pants, jeans, whatever, right? And sandals, let's just say. He's at the Santa Monica Pier, right? On the boardwalk. Shirtless. Nobody gives a damn. You know what I mean? If he's just standing there shirtless on his phone, no one gives a shit, you know? But if you were to have a woman shirtless, no bra, just jeans and sandals on her phone... Like, everyone's going to stop and pay attention. Everyone's going to look. Everyone's going to check her out.
No, are you going to look?
Absolutely not. Mm. I'm a faithful man of God. Mm-hmm. I would never.
Look. Why are you laughing?
Just the way you look right now.
I guess. But, I mean, that's just kind of stupid because men's tits aren't sexualized as women's are. So
it's just a point of the sexualization of women is why it's such a problem. Like, imagine an alternate reality where we didn't market a cheeseburger with a supermodel. You know what I mean? Like, imagine a reality where we didn't sexualize things. How would the world look today? Because everything gets sexualized. You know what I mean?
I mean, I don't know. Become a nudist. They're...
Well, I'm saying, like, do you think society would either be more clothed or less clothed if we didn't sexualize things? If we were more mature as a society?
Mature?
Yes.
So sexualization depends on maturity.
Sexualization is very immature. Like, what campaign manager sits down at a table and says, all right, we're coming out with the new Big Carl, and we need to know how we're going to market this burger? For, like, a whole decade, they decided on, like, the burger drop, where it goes, like, bun, tomato, lettuce, meat, cheese, and then the top bun. You know what I mean? It's like that slow motion fall. And then you have some supermodel pick it up and take a bite out of it and then look at the camera. And then it's like Carl's Jr. Like, if we didn't do that as a society with everything, how do you think society would look? Like, everything. Women's underwear is sexualized. Like, you don't need a bunch of Victoria's Secret supermodels to display underwear and to be all sexualized. You don't... And then on, you know, the contrast, you don't need bodybuilding supermodel-looking men to model Hanes underwear or Fruit of the Loom. You know what I mean? Like, you don't need to sexualize things in order to market them. So it's like, my question would be to you... How would our society look if we didn't sexualize everything?
I don't know.
I think it's kind of an interesting thought, you know? Because, like, why? Like, why? Like, a guy has the same body parts as a woman for the most part. Like, I have nipples. You have nipples. However, your bosom is just way larger than my bosom. So what is the size of the bosom... have to do with our attention span, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Because if you were walking with your mother down the street and there's a completely naked woman on the street, you would be like, what in the hell is she doing? You know? It would cause a distraction if you just had some naked woman walking up and down the boardwalk. It would be an issue. But not the same...
It would also be an issue if men were naked walking down the boardwalk.
But not the same issue as the woman. The man, he's a creep. Woman's not a creep. She's just doing some publicity stunt. You know, call her what you feel like, attention whore or whatever.
They're all creeps. So, like, why would you...
Well, but see, you're more mature and appropriate than a lot of people, though. You know what I mean? Like, you would be a part of that society that didn't sexualize Gatorade. You know what I mean? Like, you just, it wouldn't make sense. You know, you don't see the logic in it, but it's just a large number of people.
I mean, for business, sex sells, like, sexualizing things and all that. It gets, you know, people's attention, and that's why they do it.
What's the second best thing that sells? Like, if we were to have our own little state, city, county, colony, and we got to choose how stuff was marketed... And we chose to not market things through sex. What's, like, the next best marketing tool?
It just depends who your audience is. You don't target kids the same way that you target adults.
Right.
But if you put friggin', you know, a supermodel with barely anything on, the kids are gonna be like, Mommy, Dad, what is that? And then Dad's looking, Mom's looking, Dad not looking at, look at the supermodel, and everybody's looking, and that's just in our brains to, oh yeah, you know, I might want some Carl's Jr. later.
I have no idea what the second best marketing tool would be. I have no idea. Maybe like sadness, like Sarah McLachlan singing in the eyes of an angel with the little... beaten kitty with a pencil sticking out its face.
What the heck? I would always change the channel. Those stupid commercials are so annoying.
Gosh, what would be the next best marketing tool? I don't know. I just think that double standard of nudity, it just doesn't make sense to me. You know?
Well, you want everyone to be shirtless.
No. The opposite. I don't want anybody to be shirtless, but there's just a lot of, like, invisible rules in society that, to me, don't make sense. You know what I mean? As far as maybe like assault. Like, now, I don't want to punch a woman in the face, right? I don't. Like, there's no bone in my body that says I want to. But I just find it interesting that it's like, if a woman attacks me, I'm looked at as the bad guy if I just knock her the hell out. Like, oh, you didn't have to do that. You know, she was just upset. Like, no, she was slapping me and scratching me in the face. I wanted to defend myself. Why is, like, not that I am advocating for men to beat the crap out of women, but it's just, it's interesting how we have just these certain mannerisms where it's like, that is okay for men, but not okay for women. That's okay for women, but not okay for men. Like, if I just walk up to a woman and start yelling at her and I'm slapping her in the face and scratching her, like, that's also not okay. You know what I mean? But in the situation of a woman assaulting a man and a man knocking her out, he's in the wrong in the eyes of society, you know? There's just a lot of little mannerisms that I think are just interesting to think about. And I think it boils down to the age-old question of, like, gender roles being important. You know what I mean? As far as man working, wife sitting at home with the kids, cooking and cleaning, and having that gender-rolled lifestyle, and then all the other mannerisms that sprout from it. You know what I mean? Men can hit women, and, you know what I mean, women should clothe themselves. Doesn't matter if men don't clothe themselves and stuff like that. Because I get it. I get why it is an issue if you have a nude woman in the middle of public, because women are supposed to be looked at as more prized, you know what I mean, more valuable than men, you know, and they should nowadays, be more discreet.
Not really.
Nowadays, not really, huh? What's one of the most frustrating double standards for you? Despite the changing table.
Changing table.
That's the most obvious one, right?
Double standard. I don't know. I don't really have a problem with it.
Oh, you don't really have a problem with too many double standards, huh?
I don't think so.
Let me ask you then. Who do you think has the advantage in society as far as the genders are concerned? Do you feel like men are more privileged or women are more privileged? Or is it even?
I don't know. I'd like to say that the person who has more of an advantage is not really based on gender, but the person who has that drive and has those aspirations and has that perseverance to do what the heck they ever they want to do.
Gotcha.
Like, it doesn't really matter if you've, you know, were born a male or a woman. It just depends on what you want to do and how you do it and if you want to get to it or not. There's a bunch of women who feel like they've been oppressed and they get to the bottom of it and guess what? They have that fucking job they wanted. And I mean, a lot of men probably do it more than women. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's just who you are as a person. Are you going to give up and, oh, it's because I'm a woman. Oh, that's so fucking unfair. And then go and do another job that you didn't want to do. Or you're going to go and fight for it. So, I don't know.
My wife's out here dropping gems. Better pay attention if you're not paying attention this far along in the podcast. Yeah. That's one thing I really appreciate about you is the fact that you have the ability to look at things way more objectively. You know what I mean? You know, you don't believe in, like, the patriarchy and all this other kind of stuff. You believe in, you know, the human will and human ambition and stuff like that. I really value that in you, you know?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of men out there, you know, whose personalities are, oh, yeah, I'm going to apply here. If I don't get the job, it's okay. I've already applied somewhere else. And there's women out there who do the same, and there's women out there who's like, no, I'm gonna get this job. I've got, like, more than perfectly qualified, and if I don't, you know, get accepted, like, you know, there is, you know, probably they're gonna blame it on whatever they're gonna blame it on, but they're gonna get their job whether, you know, the company likes it or not. Because why wouldn't you get, you know, someone who's overly qualified versus some idiot on a skateboard down the street?
Right.
Like, that really wouldn't make sense, and it would make a lot of people angry, not just the person who didn't get the job.
Right.
So,
unlike a previous guest that we've had on the podcast, I know for a fact you don't believe in the gender pay gap, and we've gone over that, you know, personally. But there's something about that conversation I wanted to ask you. If you were to go to a school of a profession that you're interested in, right, and you get that degree, whether it's an associate's, master's, or bachelor's, right,
mm-hmm.
and you work your ass off to apply and get an interview at the job or career of your dreams, let's just say, right? If it is some type of, like, executive job like that, you know?
Uh-huh.
If you sit down with that employer and they want to hire you, however, the salary is way lower than what you were expecting, but it's the job of your dreams, it's your passion, it's what you really want to do, it's what you went to school for, would you just take the job anyways, despite the salary, you know?
Oh, I would definitely do my research. So, I would definitely, so if you I would see something off, I will look at, you know, make friends or, you know, all the other people at the company, like, you know,
Woo!
How much are you getting paid? Like,
talk about a gym.
Search it up on Google, like, you know, and bring it up to the company. Like, okay, you guys know, you guys hired me for a reason.
Right.
Like, and you guys are going to be underpaying me. Like, I need an explanation. And not only that, but, you know, it's not only maybe because I'm a woman, but ethnicity also has a part to right. it. You know, I'm bilingual, so I don't think, you know, I'd be getting paid less. If anything, I'd be getting paid, you know, just a little bit more.
Right.
So I definitely do my research if you think you're getting underpaid.
So you do the research. So let's just say what you're going for pays an average of $40,000 a year,
mm-hmm.
right? And if you work it out, you know, just to crunch numbers easier, it pays $48,000 a year, right? $48,000 a year works itself out to about $4,000 a month, okay? So you have the expectation of $48,000 a year. They sit you down and say, Evelyn, you know, you're qualified. We want to pick you. We want to hire you, right? But we're only going to pay you $36,000 a year to start until you get some skin in the game, and then we're going to raise your salary later. Do you look at the schooling that you've went through and the difficulty of that and just say, ah, fuck it, I'll take it? Or do you not so much argue, you know, like a BITCH, but do you argue and negotiate that salary and say, hey, even though this is my passion, what I want to do, you're not going to pay me 36. Everybody else is getting paid 48. I think your little inexperienced tactic is kind of BS. Like, how do you do
it?
I
have not heard of 1 year probation. Like, there's 3 month probation, and that's not going to deduct my 48 grand to 36.
Right.
By no means.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, let's start there. Like, where are you basing your information off of? Is this really how you get employees? Because that's not worth it for me.
And instead of just the specifics, well, like, what I was focusing on was the fact that you would negotiate your salary. You know what I mean? So, like, the argument that had came up from a previous guest was that, you know, women get paid less in any field, right? Because their male, per se, employers will just let them know that you're just going to get paid this super low price, and it is what it is, take it or leave it. But, like, you don't have that mentality of, like, oh, I mean, I've went to school for 6 years for this, and, I mean, it's not the amount of money that I want to make, but then again, you know, I'm not paying all the mortgage. I'm not paying all the rent. You know, I got a husband that works. You know, maybe it doesn't matter that I make 36 grand a year when my coworkers are making 48. You know, maybe I should just take the job anyway. You don't have the mentality at all.
I mean, that's just the mentality of someone who's complacent.
A complacent person.
So if you're, you know, yeah, you're not paying the rent. It's, you know, just, oh yeah, just more cash for, you know, your household. I mean, that's on you, but I would want what's fair. I would want to be getting paid 48, and there's other companies out there. So if that company is not going to do it right, there's going to be a company out there who's going to do it right, and if they're not, then yeah, there is probably a problem with your gender or something, and you can, you know, petition, take it to human resources, like, you know, these people want to pay me this much, and I don't think it's fair because of blah, 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 like... The world is your oyster, so
right.
Like, yeah, don't just sit back and twiddle your thumbs, I don't think. especially after all that schooling, and it's not free, and, you know, struggles, and you freaking gave a lot of time of your life, you know, to get to this point. So you might as well make it damn worth it and get every freaking penny that you can.
Yeah, no, that, I mean, just as a husband, that makes me proud to know that you have that mentality. You know what I mean? Because not that I know anyone personally who's done it, but it's just that the stats show, especially from psychologist Jordan Peterson, like the fact that women are more agreeable by nature and will just take it. What, you know what I mean? Was reflective of the perspective of the previous guest who was just like, you know, women are just going to get told they're going to, you know, make this amount of money and that's it. And they'll just take it because they have to. But I was trying to readjust the thinking of like, no. Like, they don't have to. Like, it's still a choice at that point. Like, they can choose to argue it and negotiate it. And I just like that for you. It's just like a no-brainer. Like, yeah, you do your due diligence. You know how much everyone else is getting paid. You, quote-unquote, made a friend inside the company. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you got to know, you know, how much they made and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know what your worth is going in. And you're not accepting too much less than that going out, you know? I just really, I really like that. Closing thoughts? Love, Bunny?
No.
No closing thoughts?
I mean, I don't think so.
Well, I had a really great time recording the podcast with you.
Me too, I'm tired.
I know. We're going to go ahead and wrap it up here, ladies and gentlemen. We did a whole 56 minutes with the great and powerful Evelyn Bazan, Evelyn Salcido, my beautiful wife. We appreciate you listening to the podcast, and we can't wait to see you on the next one.
Yes.